I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Mary here from Kennedy, Texas, at a parish mission. I am on duty for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Terry, what about you?
Hey, there it goes. Jesse, I'm on duty. I love it. I see the kitchen, the microwave behind you. Jess, I'm surprised you're not in a motorhome doing this. You know. Anyhow, brother, great to hear from you. Thanks be to God. We got another week to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's show, Jess, lots of interesting topics. Obviously, we're going to get to the spiritual warfare and communism, but I'm also going to have, after Father Ripperger talks, I want to talk to you about a survivors of the Soviet communism are warning the West about something. I can't wait to tell you about that. Also, Jess, as you know, Bill Gates said something that they edited out. He basically says that the billionaire never said that we need digital vaccine passports. We're going to talk about that topic with Bill Gates. Also, Hunter Biden, what's going on with this, you know, scandal? And also, why is it, Jess, and I'm just asking, why is it that the media doesn't talk about the Hunter Biden scandal, but if there's an investigation on Trump about Russia, that was up? I'm going to demonstrate here that the media is corrupt, and this is a good example of that. But before we get to all of these, oh, and one more thing too, Jesse, just to give everybody the good news, I want to just say we're at the end of this year, everybody, here at Virgin Most Powerful, our third year. And if those who want to make a donation for the year-end donation, I've been calling a lot of people up. I thank you for your donations. We could use them right now. And you can call 877-526-2151 or go online to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Before we get to all the topics, Jess, I love getting some soul food in. Today's reading from the Holy Mass. Could you share that with us, please?
Absolutely, Terry. And here's what it says. And by the way, the key word that you're going to see that's going to keep jumping out in us is authority, 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 authority. Okay. When Jesus had come into the temple area, that's the temple of Jerusalem. That's like it's like their Vatican. It's the holiest shrine for the Jewish people in the Old Testament. The chief priests and the elders, that's the establishment, or that's the deep state at the time of Christ, of the people approached him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Why are they asking our Lord this question? Because they know that he didn't go to rabbi school. They know that he wasn't a Levite. They know that he wasn't a Pharisee. They didn't see him in the temple of Jerusalem taking rabbinic classes. So they're saying, "Dude, how do you know so much? And by the way, what you're teaching, who gave you the authority to teach that?" I mean, we know about Nicodemus. We know about Joseph of Arimathea. We know about Rabbi, you know, Shammai and Hillel. We know about Gamaliel. But who are you? Continues. Jesus said to them in reply, "I shall ask you one question. If you answer it for me, then I shall tell you by what authority I do these things." Then Jesus says, "Where was John's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin?" They discussed this amongst themselves, and they said, "If we say of heavenly origin, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." So they said to Jesus in reply, "We do not know." Terry, that's what a lot of people, when I was in law enforcement, when you catch them in a crime, Terry, you know what they say?
Tell me.
Nothing. They go, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to say anything.
Oh,
yeah, I'm not going to. Well, Terry, we even have prelates, Terry, in the Catholic
Church. Oh, yeah.
People in high places that say, "I'm not going to say anything."
Yeah.
Okay. These accusations, I'm not going to say anything. Terry, this is just an old strategy. It's called obfuscation. It's said by simple street thugs, and it's also said by high-ranking officials in politics and in the Catholic Church.
Yep.
Yeah. It says, and the gospel says, then. If we say of heavenly origin, he will say to us, then why did you not believe in John the Baptist? But if we say of human origin, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet. So they said to Jesus in reply, we do not know. He, Jesus himself, said to them, neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Terry, if Jesus Christ would have told the Pharisees and Sadducees by where he received the authority from God the Father, that he's the second person of the Trinity who became incarnate, that he's the Logos who became a man, one of us, they wouldn't have believed him.
No.
Because again, they were blinded. They were blinded by their ritual, their legalism, their rituals. They were blinded by their traditions. Yeah. A lot of the man-made traditions. And the Lord knew that they weren't, they didn't have faith like children. They weren't docile. They weren't humble. Yeah. They were know-it-alls. They said, we know the 613 laws of Moses. We follow them. Who are you, a carpenter's son, to teach him? And so Jesus did not spend his, he didn't waste his time giving them a theological answer. He didn't say, I am the Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I became a man at a given point in time in life in the womb of the, he didn't waste his time. In other words, Terry, there are some people that are not ready to hear the message of the gospel because, number one, sometimes they're just diabolically disoriented, to quote Sister Lucia, or to quote St. Paul, they have intellectual blindness, diabolical intellectual blindness, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Or some people, Terry, are just so full of pride that Jesus says, for those people, you go into their house, they don't accept the gospel message, walk out of their house, wipe your feet on the doormat of their house, and walk away and leave. And that's what we have here, Terry.
Well said, Jesse. I want to bring the smartest guy into the room right now, Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. You know, being the person that I get to bring Sheen in, I sometimes bring a special guest with the train riding alongside Fulton Sheen. And I wanted to bring Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI in. Because he's got something to say about the papacy, Jess. And I think that our Holy Father right now would do well to take this advice from his predecessor. And here's what he says. Pope Benedict XVI, as he was the Pope, he said, the power that Christ conferred upon Peter and his successors is, in a absolute sense, a mandate to serve. Beautiful. The power of the teaching in the church involves a commitment to the service of obedience to the faith. Now, here's the part that Pope Benedict said that I thought was just so beautiful. He says, the Pope, now here's the Pope speaking, Pope Benedict, is not an absolute monarch whose thoughts and desires are law. On the contrary, the Pope's ministry is a guarantee of obedience to Christ and to his word. He must not proclaim his own ideas, but rather consistently, I love this part, bind himself and the church to obedience to God's word in the face of every attempt to adapt it or water it down in every form of opportunism. Jesse, I'm going to make my commentary, then I'm going to let you do yours, because I read that this morning and I shared that before the show to you, and you went, what? I never read that from Benedict. Well, he did. And Jesse, I think of homosexuality going on in the church right now. I think of women's ordination. I think of all kinds of watering down that's going on in the church. And Benedict XVI is saying, look, the Pope doesn't have the authority. We've been saying this, Jesse, for years, you and I, in a different way. But it's kind of nice, Jess, that the vicar of Christ, Pope Benedict XVI, says exactly what the perennial teachings say on what the Pope can and can't do. As a matter of fact, Jess, and I'll throw it back to you, the Pope doesn't have the authority to change the moral teachings of the church, divine revelation that the church has taught for 2,000 years. Even if he wanted to, he can't change it. All right, I'll turn it over to you, Jess. I said my piece.
Terry, just want to call upon the intercession of St. John of the Cross.
Yep.
Pray for us. It's his feast day today. Terry, he's a doctor of the church.
He is.
He's the doctor of mystical theology.
That's right.
When St. John of the Cross was a boy, his father died, and his destitute mother sent him to a school for the poor. He joined the Carmelites in 1563. He joined forces with Teresa of Avila, another mystic, an authentic mystic, and another doctor of the church. And both of them, they started carrying out reforms of their order and also the reform of the church. The church had fallen into some bad prelates as well in the Middle Ages. St. John of the Cross, his first house as the leader of the friars, was so poor, you know, that even Teresa of Avila doubted that he could live there. But John embraced poverty. He embraced austerities because John of the Cross's mystical theology taught him detachment, renunciation of all creature comforts for the sake of union with God. And John of the Cross died in 1591. He's hailed as a mystical doctor of the church. He said the following, quote, "Feed not your spirit on anything but God. Cast off concern about things and bear peace and reconciliation in your heart." St. John of the Cross, pray for us.
Wow.
Terry, this man was a perfect example of dedication, of perfect self-denial for love of the cross of Christ. I think John of the Cross would say the words of St. Paul in Galatians 6:14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." St. John of the Cross, pray for us.
And his book that I think everybody should check out, I checked it out many years ago, Dark Night of the Soul. And I think of that because right now we need to have trust in Jesus Christ right now. Yeah.
We're going through a dark night. The church
That's exactly why I'm encouraging people to get his book, Dark Night of the Soul.
The soul.
Jesse, when we come back, Father Ripperger is going to talk again on spiritual warfare. And then I'm going to make a commentary about survivors of communism, what they're saying about America today.
Excellent.
It's amazing, Jess. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jess and I would be billionaires. Mm-hmm. Hey, when we come back, we'll tell you what more about spiritual warfare through Father Chad Ripperger's comments. You won't want to miss that. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. Terry and Jesse Show, two Catholics with PhDs in common sense. We want you to listen to Father Chad Ripperger. It's a very short presentation. It's called Spiritual Warfare and Communism. He talks about culpability. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
When an exorcist does sessions in which exorcisms are done to compel the demons to give information in order to arrive at what is necessary in order to get them out, one of the things that the exorcist will observe is that when demons are caught in a lie or a crime of some sort, instead of humbly apologizing and asking for forgiveness, they make some type of excuse. They spin what is understood as the truth of the matter to make themselves look good. They never admit fault. They blame others. They very often will blame the possessed person or innocent people, etc. They create a diversion to mitigate the damage, you name it. Everything is done in order to deflect the blame and the culpability. Part of this is because of the demons, the fact that the demons have no humility, because their sin was rooted in pride, ultimately. And so they will never apologize or ask for forgiveness except under great duress in session. And even then, they won't mean it. They'll just go through the motions of it. Communists do the exact same thing. You notice that when they do something bad or communism fails in some way, they enter into the blame game. They blame this person or this group of people or for that particular individual, etc., for their failure or the thing that they did wrong. They never admit fault, even when everybody in the room can see it and knows it, that it's them. They're the ones who they just won't admit it. They create diversions. This is why politicians have been doing this for some time. You know, something comes up, and then the next thing you know, a building gets blown up. You know, some particular congressman or president gets caught in something. The next thing you know, there's a bombing somewhere, etc. And the media is complicit in this. They know that. They know that that's what's actually going on. The communists will also label things contrary to reality to mitigate their own fault. error or evil or to hide their own agenda. Demons just do the same thing. They label stuff so that it makes it look not as bad as it is, or it makes it look good when in point in fact it's actually bad for people. They will create false flags. I'm going to talk a little bit about this later, but as part of their modus operandi, is they don't let any crisis go to waste. Demons will create a crisis and then blame the possessed. We'll see that a little bit more later. And so do the communists. It's all done to gain control over the individual. As in the cases of demons, it is ultimately done just to mitigate any possible loss of power that they might have by being seen as culpable for something that they have done, which is wrong. We see this also in relationship to not just individuals, that is the power that the demons have over individuals, but even over societies or nations, that demons will do the same thing. But it's also true even in relationship to communists. Communists do the same thing. It's ultimately to divert the situation, to divert people's perceptions, to divert the blame and the culpability so that they will not lose power or control or be seen as weak or whatever the case is. This is why it's all part of the lie as well. But this is a different aspect to it. They simply won't accept blame.
You just listened to Father Chad Ripperger. He gave just a short little teaching on the similarities between the communism and the diabolical demons and the way they pan out. Terry, I'm sure you got some comments after listening to Father Ripperger.
I do, but I just want to, before I get to the little article about it, Jesse, isn't it true, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because this is your forte, spiritual warfare, but I noticed that people who have been in the occult tell me the reason they got in is because they wanted power. They wanted to be able to persuade people. And I think of politicians, and I think of one politician, Hillary Clinton, where I read an article on her that she wanted to understand this spiritual warfare, but on the side of the devil, that if she could get more power to become a higher person in politics and have more power, she would, you know, do that. And so here's my point, Jess, and correct me, like I say, if I'm wrong on it, but I see a connection to these high-powered politicians, and the way they operate are so similar to demons that it's scary. Am I on to something?
That's exactly what Father Ripperger is alluding to. It's the lust for power, Terry, that oftentimes, see, a person that wants to go into politics, for example, I've been asked to run for politics in Arizona. Yeah. They're twisting my arm, the RNC. Yeah. I'm not interested. But if I went into politics, it would be to serve people, the golden rule, to treat others the way I want to be treated. That would be my motivation. I think that's a Christian's motivation to go into politics, is you want to go there in and out, basically go in there, do the best you can for a few years, serve people. But Terry, but leftists, they see it as, wow, this is a position of absolute power where my word can have maximum it could cause maximum effect. And Terry, you'll see that these politicians that lust for power, you could see it's very obvious because they stay there for 30 or 40 years. Yeah. They start making contacts with big pharma, communists, mainstream media, Hollywood, and they become millionaires as a result of making friends with lobbyists. But somebody who goes in there with a Christian heart, goes in there for 4, 6 years, 8 years, they're in and out. They try to do the best they could, provide a service for the people, because that's what politics means. It means to serve the people, to serve a city by proper order. And Terry, demons and communists, and by the way, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Father Chad Ripperger is using the word communist here, but I can tell you who he's referring to.
Yeah.
He's referring to the communist infiltration in the United States through the Democrat Party. This is why he's doing these videos. If he would say the word Democrat, you would have an 800-pound gorilla called the U.S. bishops jump down his throat and call his bishop. So he can't do that. Yeah. And so he's very smart, and I'm not putting words in his mouth. I just basically can read between the lines as a retired cop. I know who he's talking about. OK, Okay, he's talking about the Democrat Party because Terry, EWTN told us in the movie The Sheep in Wolf's Clothing,
yeah.
Father Mitch Paco, who narrated that phenomenal expose of communism in this country. You know what communists call themselves in this country? And they did that because people like you and I will push back. We're not going to accept that term or that political system here. So they've renamed themselves in America. They call themselves liberals or progressives. Ah, well, what party calls themselves liberals or progressive, Terry?
Yeah.
I wonder which party.
Yeah.
That's communism.
Well, let me give you an example. I'm just adding on to that, Jesse, because you're absolutely right. I just read an article how Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, allowed China, atheistic China, to come into Canada to train their military in snow conditions. Okay, and they paid big bucks to get the Prime Minister of, you know, Canada, who I believe is just the most liberal. I mean, he's horrible. But there's an example of how communists can pay to do things like that and get away with it. Now, we talked last week about how the Chinese got involved in the election with money. Okay, So, Jesse, you're spot on. So I appreciate you making that comment. Let me ask one last thing about the spiritual warfare. We have a conference coming up in January. Everybody can get can sign up for it online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Can you share a little bit about what's going to take place in January, Jess?
Yeah, Terry, we brought in one of the top lay Catholics to Virgin Most Powerful on spiritual warfare. This he's been involved in exorcism teams for over 6 years. He runs several exorcism teams, and he teaches priests as well.
Yeah.
Healing, deliverance, and exorcism. His name's Dr. Dan Schneider. He's a doctor, he's a Mariologist, so he's properly formed. He's a Cardinal Newman Mariologist PhD, Terry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, what a good combination.
Excellent.
And him and I, and by the way, I'll be honest, a lot of people think I know a lot, and I probably do. You know,
I know, and
the reason is, it's like this. The reason people think I know a lot is because a one-eyed man sees far in a blind world. I'm like a one-eyed man, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
So I see further than most people in spiritual warfare because most people are not haven't read anything about it. But Dan Schneider, Terry, this guy is for lay Catholics, I'd say he's probably in the top three lay Catholics in the world on spiritual warfare. We are going to be doing a conference.
16th of January.
On the 16th on spiritual warfare. I'm telling you, I even deferred to him. I said, Terry, give him three talks. I'll
do
two because I can sit down there and listen to this guy all day.
Yeah.
He teaches me. He's my mentor in spiritual warfare. And again, he teaches for Father Ripper at Liber Christus. So you don't want to miss that conference. To listen to him is to listen to the lay version of Father Chad Ripperger.
Wow, and you can get to register by calling 877-526-2151. Also, go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. You can register right online. Jess, I just want to take a minute here. Survivors of the Soviet communism are warning the West. They're warning us, Jess, that it's becoming, we are becoming totalitarian. Mm. And so he wrote a book, and he... His name is Dwyer. He spent these last few years in Europe talking to survivors of communism. And here's the question he asked all those people. He thought America was drifting into totalitarianism. They all said yes, 100%. What unnerves those who live under Soviet communism is this similarity. Elites and elite institutions are abandoning, listen to this because it's right now, abandoning old-fashioned liberalism based in defending the rights of individuals. And here's what they're replacing it with, a progressive creed that regards justice in terms of groups. He encourages people to identify these groups, ethnic and sexual and otherwise. He's describing Black Lives Matter. Yes. And to think of good and evil as matter of power dynamics among groups. The utopia vision drives these progressives, one that compels them to seek to rewrite history. Yes, the reset, and reinvent languages to reflect their ideal of a social justice. And I'll ask one last thing. We got a second here. The main difference between a defunct Soviet regime and the growing empire of this woke is that whereas the former featured hard totalitarianism of physical violence, the later employs a soft totalitarianism, of so-called social justice, Jesse, ideology, the cancel culture, surveillance technology beyond the commissar's wildest dreams, and permissive consumerism. He said that the literal metaphor is illustrated. Half of Europe lives in the George Orwell's 1984, and now the West is looking increasingly like the Brave New World. What are your thoughts, Jess?
Terry, I'm just... If
you're laughing.
The reason I'm laughing is because I don't want to cry. How's that?
Exactly.
Okay? Yeah. The reason I'm laughing is because I don't want to cry. But you know what? Again, once again, this reminds me, Terry, that my hope is not in politics and sports and the Weather Channel. My hope is not in my investments. My hope is in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bill Gates, what he said and what he didn't say here on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Want to give a shout out to some people in Australia on the chat. They're listening to us, Terry, all the way from the land down under.
I love it.
God bless you, brothers and sisters out there from Australia who are listening to us. Terry, I want to talk a little bit about Bill Gates. I don't trust him, Terry. I'll tell you why I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. This man can't have enough. He's a billionaire, Terry, but he can't have enough. He finds ways to make more money. His God, by the way, he's also said that he's an atheist. Okay. Yeah. So if you're an atheist and all you ever think about is how to make more money, what does that tell you? It tells you what Jesus told us.
Yep.
He says, in this world, you either worship God or mammon.
Mm-hmm.
That was this, you know, it's another way of also saying money, but that's also a demon god, mammon. But it has a double meaning. It also means money. So in this world, Bill Gates, we know who he worships. He worships the demon god of money. And he's also, Terry, what makes him also dangerous is that he's a eugenicist, which means that he believes that there's too many people on planet Earth.
He does.
And by the way, he's not a scientist. He's not a doctor. In fact, he's a college dropout. I'm not begrudging people that didn't go to college. In fact, I think most people that, you know, have more common sense didn't go to college. Okay, so he dropped out of college. All I'm saying by that is that he doesn't have a degree in science or biology or something. But yet this man has determined that there's too many people on planet Earth. He's on record, Terry. He's on video saying that we have a billion people too much on planet Earth, a billion too many people.
Dangerous man.
And this article got him dirty, as they say in police work. We got him dirty. He's giving a TED talk and Gates is in this TED talk. When you can get the link from this article that's on our show notes, Virgin Most Powerful Radio or JesseRomero.com, and some people tried to edit out the statement from the original, but this article, they tracked it down. It was actually Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
A good guy.
He tracked it down. He's speaking out. He's part of the Kennedy family, and he's speaking powerfully against this forced vaccination.
That's right.
But the article says, someone altered Bill Gates' June 2020 TED Talk to edit out his revealing prediction that we will all soon need digital vaccine passports. But after considerable effort, we tracked down the original video.
Yep.
Bill Gates' minions on cable and network news, his public broadcasting, social media, and fact-checker, you know, toadies, all now insist that Gates never said such things. They say he never intended to track and trace us with subdermal with chips or injected tattoos. They dismiss this talk as conspiracy theories. Well, again, here it is from the horse's mouth. There's a video. There's a link to it on this article.
Yep.
In 2019... according to a not-yet-purged Scientific American article, Bill Gates commissioned MIT, which is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, to build an injectable quantum dot dye system to tattoo stored medical info beneath children's skin. And the tattoo was designed to be readable by an iPhone app.
Yep.
So Bill Gates' company, Microsoft, they patented also a sinister technology that uses implanted chips with sensors that will monitor body and brain activity. It promises to reward compliant human beings with cryptocurrency payments when they perform assigned activities. Mm-hmm. Terry, let me stop there. Can you imagine if you tell a homeless person, hey, let us chip you under your skin, and if you comply with this, we'll make sure that we send you money. We'll send you payments. Terry, there's 76,000 homeless people in
Sign
LA County.
Sign me up.
You think they're going to say, nope. What? Free money? All you got to do is put a chip in my arm? They're going to extend their, sign me up. I want free money.
You got it.
Terry, he's going to get so many people that are going to be compliant, especially people that are hurting for money. They're going to say, I get free money to get a chip by Bill Gates. Hey, I don't care what that chip does. I need the money right now. Terry, comment?
Well, Bob, my comment is this. Bill Gates has been in trouble for a long time. And what he did in Africa, it's another topic, but he promoted contraception where he was making these women, by giving them shots, infertile, and they didn't even know it. But he said, oh, it's best for them. And his wife, unfortunately, Jess, I have to say, baptized Catholic, okay? She's totally denied her Catholic faith. So I pray for her salvation because she's denied it. And this is just a bad husband and wife family that are basically saying, like you said, way too many people on the planet. Let's get rid of them, and we'll do it very carefully. But we won't tell everybody. We have to do this so that the ignorant people don't know what's going on. But I'll tell
Terry,
you what.
This is,
yeah, go ahead.
This is Bonnie and Clyde, except they're not using six shooters.
There you go.
They're not using revolvers.
But they're killing people.
They're using technology, Terry.
Yep.
So they're actually worse than Bonnie and Clyde.
I agree, Jesse. Yep.
Well, Terry, the article also, it also says that Gates has also invested approximately $20 million in microchips.
And a billion.
Another company that makes chip-based devices.
Yes.
Including birth control implants.
That's right. And Jesse, you broke up for a second. I got a bad connection, but this is all his doings. Gates also invested $1 billion in EarthNow, which promises to blanket the globe with 5G video surveillance satellites. EarthNow will be launched 500 satellites, allowing governments and large enterprises to live stream monitor almost every corner of the world, providing instantaneous video feedback within 1 second delay. What's going on, Jesse? Is there any? The world is becoming smaller with this guy. And also, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation also acquired, are you ready for this? 5.3 million shares of Crown Castle, which owns 5G spy antennas, including more than 40,000 cell towers and 65 small cells. Jesse, this is dangerous. I see the writing on the wall.
Terry, here's what I see, and I kind of laughed about it 20, 25 years ago. Hollywood made these movies that were called The Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, of course.
And they were these machines. These robots turned on the human race. They were made by the humans, but they turned on us.
Yeah.
Terry, as I look at that movie now, I'm not laughing anymore.
No.
I mean, it may not be as sci-fi or Hollywood as robots with 50 caliber machine guns chasing people on the streets. But what I'm saying is now you have evil people like Bill Gates that are using technology, which is robotic. They're using technology now, Terry, and they want to use it to basically thin out the ranks of the human population.
That's right.
They want to use it to sterilize women through contraception that's implanted in their body already.
That's right.
And so they're a little bit more sophisticated than the Hollywood Terminator series. I don't think we're going to have to worry about robots running down the street, with 50 caliber machine guns shooting at us. But the way they're using technology is a lot more insidious and covert, and actually a lot more dangerous. A lot more people can be killed as a result of the way Bill Gates and others are using technology than the Hollywood Terminator series.
And Jesse, I want to take this time to pray for both the husband and wife, the Gates. And the reason I want to pray for them is because what would happen if they were converted to Catholicism? Can you imagine, Jesse, the good that they could do with their resources for for the salvation of souls. So I want to pray right now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One Hail Mary. That's a powerful prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us, and pray for Bill and Melinda, that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, Jess, I had to do that out of charity.
No, that's important, Terry. And I'll tell you, you know, you have a lot of people talking right now. They project oftentimes, they project what's happening right now. And there could be a spiritual implication about the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13, you know, verses 16 to 18, where the mark of the beast, back in the time of St. John the Apostle, according to Catholic historians, they say that the mark of the beast, it basically symbolized the wicked Roman emperors who persecuted the early Catholic Christians, and basically this mark of the beast, by, you know, scholars that have studied this, including your nephew,
right, Dr. Barber,
they said it alludes to the coins of the Roman Empire that bore images of the emperor.
Yep.
And this was forced upon people, this mark of the beast. There's no mention in the Bible of it being voluntarily. And the only thing that the book of Revelation mentions regarding the book of life and the beast is that those who choose to worship the beast, which again, these were representative historically of wicked Roman emperors at the time of the early Catholic persecution, that those that would wish to worship the emperor, their names would not be entered into the book of life because they forced Catholics to worship them as gods. And so the Catholics that did not submit to worshiping these emperors, these beasts, they were persecuted. And to take the mark in your forehead, which means that you'd give intellectual assent, and that emperor now became your god, your deity. And the right hand, the mark of the right hand, all means, you know, it's the hand that works. It's the hand of labor, and it's the hand of service. The right hand indicates also service. So it means that those people in the Roman Empire, those Catholics in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, that they would totally serve the beast, the Roman emperors, with their hands, with their labor. Again, will there be a wicked person before the second coming of Christ, another beast-like person? Yeah, we call him the Antichrist. And there will be people that will take the mark of the Antichrist. How? They will intellectually serve him. Okay, that's the forehead. With their mind, they will serve him. And with their hands, they will also serve him. They will be his labor force. And so, yeah, the more things change, the more things stay the same, Terry.
I want to come back with a little short little story on the Hunter Biden scandal that went on and why the media would not cover it before the election. And to show how corrupt our media is. I'm just being honest. Sorry, Mr. Media. But you know what? Tell the truth. That's what we want. That's what we are here for. The Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We'll be back with much more after a quick break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back, Terry and Jesse Show. Terry, every Catholic in the media, every Catholic in the media should read and reread the document from Vatican II, Inter Mirifica, which is the document that tells people how we as Christians, followers of Christ, should be using social communication.
Exactly.
It was actually the first document signed off by the Council of Fathers. It's on the media decree on the media of social communications. Terry, it's horrible.
We're corrupt.
It's complete. I just got four sentences, and I'll take it over to you real quick.
No,
here's four things that it says. Okay, yeah. Vatican II says.
Yeah.
And the Church recognizes that these media, if properly utilized, can be of great service to mankind, since they greatly contribute to men's entertainment and instruction and spread the support of the kingdom of God. The Church recognizes so too that men can employ these media contrary to the plan of the Creator and to their own loss. Indeed, the church experiences maternal grief at the harm all too often done to society by their evil use.
Yep.
Here's one more quote from Vatican II. Finally, the narration, the description of or portrayal of moral evil, even through the media of social communication, can indeed serve to bring about a deeper knowledge and study of humanity, but could also arouse base desires in men because of original sin. Mm. Last point here. It says this.
Very good.
All who make of their own free choice use of the media communications as readers or viewers or listeners, for a proper choice demands that they fully favor those presentations that are outstanding for their moral goodness, their knowledge, and their artistic or technical merit. It says they ought, however, to avoid those that may be a cause or occasion of spiritual harm to themselves, or that can lead others into danger through base example, or that hinder desirable presentations, and promote those presentations that are evil. To patronize evil presentations in most instances would merely reward those who use these media for profit only. And last point it says is this. It is quite evident that what gravely important responsibilities they have in the present day, those in the media, when they are in a position to lead the human race to good or to evil by informing or arousing mankind. They have grave responsibility for the proper use of the media of social communication, which falls on newsmen and anchormen. Terry, these Catholics in the media have never read this document because a lot of them are leftist, communist, progressives that are using their bully pulpits to promote evil against what the Catholic Church taught in the document decree on social communications. I'll get off my high horse.
Take that clip that Jesse just did for 3 minutes, Mr. Engineer, and put that on social media. Jess, you nailed it. See, here's the challenge. The narrative that liberal media wants to take has nothing to do with the truth. See, Jess, I'm going to be honest with you. If you did something that was immoral, I would just say, you know what? Pray for Jess Romero. He fell.
He's gone.
No, yeah, I'm just saying. And that's what I would say because it was the truth, okay?
Well, I've seen you do it before, Terry, to people. Yeah, so you're consistent.
Yeah, but here's my point. The media doesn't look at, well, what is the truth here about Hunter Biden? No, let's wait, back up and say this could affect the election in a way that we don't want it to affect. So let's just look the other way because our narrative is more important than the truth. And mm-hmm. So this is what bothers me most, Jesse, about our people in the media is that it's driven by the narrative rather than driven by the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. And I'm going to make a recommendation. I've said it several times. Shut the media off right now. Don't even watch it. You've got good sources that you're going to have with people who want to know the truth. Oh, LifeSite News, Church Militant. You've got on the secular side, One America News, right? Just that's another good one.
Yeah, One America News Network. Yep. You've got Newsmax.
Yeah.
Voices of Truth, Terry.
Yeah.
They're small, but they're voices
of truth. But those are the ones you need to hear, because I'll tell you what happens. I've even noticed this right now on my phone. I just saw what they're doing. And they're saying things like right now, we're going to just get this whole thing on this election. It's a done deal. We're finished. But you know what, Jess? I want to recommend that people listen to you and myself with Father Frank Pavone on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific Coast time, because we're going to spend an hour to discuss what's going on with the election. Because right now I see liberal media saying it's done. Biden's the president. Well, I don't think they're quite right on that. I think we have something to say about that. But again, it comes back down to the narrative. What's supporting the narrative for liberal media? And it's not the truth.
That's right, Terry. And I'll tell you, it's funny now that, you know, the media, they're smelling, you know, like sharks.
Oh, yeah.
They're smelling, hey, our guy's going to get in. Joe Biden's going to get in. So now you actually have some news medias, liberal news medias, that are actually starting to probe Hunter Biden's criminal background, his connections with them. Yeah. So now it's funny. They didn't touch it, Terry. The media was saying, that's a lie. There's nothing there, nothing to see there. Now, some of the mainstream media seem they think that Joe Biden is a shoo-in for the president.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Now they're starting to question Hunter Biden's laptop and his associations with China. I'll tell you why they're doing this. I'll tell you why. I see the writing on the wall.
Tell me.
They want to get their man in, Joe Biden, because they saw that he was the most moderate of all the people that were running that would be able to take the blue collar people that voted for Trump, that blue collar Joe would be able to bring the blue collar people back away from Donald. They saw nobody else in the Democrat Party that was be able to do that except Joe. Come on, because, you know, he's lunch pail. Come on, man. Yeah. But now, Terry, their goal is to get rid of Joe Biden.
That's what I wanted to say.
They know that he's senile, Terry. They know that he's got...
And who's going to replace him, Jeff?
He's got mental illness. Yeah. Their goal has always been put in a hard leftist progressive.
Yep.
And that's Kamala Harris. The left is bucking for her, Terry, because she won't say it. Because like Father Ripperger says, demons keep their mouth shut. Yep, they obfuscate. They lie. They don't want to tell the truth. Same with communists.
Yeah.
If you ask Kamala Harris, are you a communist? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Terry, behind closed doors,
yeah.
I can imagine what she says. She's laughing. She's saying, these idiots don't realize that I'm going to use the word Democrat and wrap myself around the Democrat Party and bring in communism in the United States.
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of Joe Biden through a constitutional amendment that provides for senile presidents to get rid of them. We just needed to get into the office by using, you know, come on, Joe, blue collared lunch pail Joe, to get into the office. Their goal was always to put in a communist in the White House, and that's Kamala Harris.
And
let's pray and fight that this doesn't happen.
And Jesse, one more thing about her. She actually said useful idiots. See, she's using a communist term when she says that, because she saw all this as just a funny way of getting in, and a sense of these people are so stupid. Did you notice, Jesse, and I don't want to get too on politics because I want to end with a note of our Lord, but think about this. Mr. Biden didn't even have to go out and promote his presidency. He stayed in his basement and he still won. Does that kind of sound a little funny? What president has done that and has ever won? None. Okay, so
because they knew the elections were rigged through the computer, so they're like saying, stay home in your basement, let Trump go out there and do three rallies a day.
Yep.
We're going to fix the election with the computers, yeah, with the Dominion software.
With the Chinese buying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Terry, and in this article, we don't have, but you can read it on our show page. Yep. The article's called Media Knowingly Lied Over and Over That There Is Still No Evidence of Hunter Biden Scandal, Like They're Lying There Is Still No Evidence for Biden Steal. It's a good article, and it really profiles this one guy who's a leftist, Terry.
Yeah.
The guy's a man of the left.
Right.
Who basically, his name is, this leftist is called, there's a Pulitzer Prize winner. His name is Greenwald. He's a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And he admits he's a liberal. But in this article, he's the one that's saying, wait a minute, guys. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that started putting out it through his liberal news sources about the media was hiding things about Hunter Biden. The media was not being honest about voter fraud. So this liberal, whose name's Greenwald, who, by the way, is a Pulitzer Prize winner, he founded an outlet, a news media outlet called Intercept. Basically, the left is going after him because he's called out all his leftist brothers and sisters for, again, this fraud election and for hiding Hunter Biden's association with the communist.
Jesse, I want to end on a note that is positive. But today's mass that we had for Monday, when the entrance antiphon said, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, declare it to distant lands. Behold, our Savior will come, and you need no longer fear. Did you hear what he said? You need no longer to fear, because our trust is not in men. It's in Jesus Christ. Jess, am I right?
Well, Terry, that's what the catechism says. It says hope is the theological virtue
yep.
where we place our trust in the promises of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, Terry, something very beautiful.
Tell me, bro.
About putting your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And guess what? Dominion software can't take that away.
That's right.
Guess what, Terry? The Democrats can't steal that election from Jesus, because you know what? He was elected because he's the Son of God. He's the Logos, the second person of the Trinity.
Amen, brother. Preach.
When he became man, Terry,
yes,
and he died for the sins of the world, he owns every single inch of space on planet Earth and in the universe, because his blood was shed for everything. Jesus Christ, who's a king, cannot be impeached. He will not resign. He will not terminate office. He's not there for 4 or 6 years. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 33 to 44, his kingdom will last forever. And guess what? The other guy's kingdom?
There's an expiration date.
Bible says in Revelation 20:10. That Satan's kingdom will be thrown into the lake of fire when Christ comes back.
Amen.
At the second advent. That's what we're celebrating, Advent. The
Amen.
Second advent of Christ. Christ will come back, throw Satan to hell, seal hell up. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. His kingdom has an expiration date. The kingdom of Christ will last, as it says in Luke 1:33, forever and ever and ever. Take it away, Terry.
Amen, brother. What state should we be living in, Brother Jess?
State of grace. Make sure that before you die, you leave it all out on the field and don't live in a state of mortal sin. Terry, take it away.
All right, folks, I want to thank you. Now, that's what we do here. We try to introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And I want to recommend that you stay tuned, because Dr. Ed Mazza is up next on the Bar of History on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you and your family.